This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Classroom, where we take attendance for the unexplained. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay. And we're two teacher moms talking about stuff that freaks us out.
I don't have a hook for this one. I forgot to make a hook.
Way to go, slacker.
Yeah, so just know, you're in for a treat. So keep listening.
Air quotes. Amanda's doing air quote, finger quotes. You're in for a treat in finger quotes. I don't know what that means, but it's been a long time since I've heard a story from Amanda. What happened to your computer screen? What's this bubble?
The bubble's because I have like a cover on.
I got you. A screen protector.
Yeah, screen protector.
I think it's just a sheet of plastic.
I just didn't put it on right. And there's like crumbs underneath it.
You got it.
Terrible.
Because mine is a mess and I don't have that. I would go crazy if I could take it off.
It's all good.
All right. Well, never mind.
What's haunting you?
Well, that thing on your... No, I'm just kidding. I already told Amanda, but I'll just say very quickly, my 16-year-old son got his driver's license yesterday. So all positive thoughts to the universe, everyone out on the road with him, and to surround him with angels and aliens and anyone else that might be able to protect him and all of us.
Yeah.
That's all. It's very stressful.
It's very stressful.
Very exciting, but very stressful.
He'll do good, though. He'll do good.
He's a pretty good boy.
Well, what's haunting me is I got my first bill for the dance competitive team that my daughter was accepted into.
Which, congratulations to her. That's awesome.
Congrats to her. And it's awesome. And I'm super grateful that we can even consider it at all, really. But, like, for anybody out there who doesn't have a child in competitive dance, take what you imagine it will be, what it will cost, and multiply it by 4. Yeah, I was like, that's how shocked I was when I opened, because it was 4 times more than I thought it was going to be. So,
okay, with my fingers, I'm going to guess, and you can tell me higher or lower.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to say, because I'm comparing it in my brain to Jack's, like, baseball.
Okay.
So, that is a year.
Way more. Way more than that, yeah. I can tell you. I'll tell you after we record. It's insane. Yeah.
Oh my God. That kid needs to get a job. I don't know when she'd have time because she's dancing.
Anybody out there hiring a 13-year-old who has...
Oh, well, if the federal government has their way, she'll be able to work the mines in no time.
Fantastic.
Holy buckets.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we need to start a GoFundMe for the poor little girl who wants to dance. Or the poor little mama who doesn't want to take a second job to pay for the girl to dance. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope she knows how lucky she is to have parents who support her.
We talk about it a lot, so.
Good.
We've had to cut a lot out. Like, it's just a shift in
like
our entire...
Like, food and drink.
Yeah, we have. It's like a whole shift in our way of, like, working through the world, you know what I mean? Like, everything now, I'm constantly like, that's a no, that's a no, that's a no. We can't get that. Because it's all going to dance. It's the only way to, in our situation, how to do it. So.
Is that with your other child? How's that going with the other child?
Well, she wants to sacrifice things for her sister, and I don't like that. So I'm always telling her.
Put her in therapy someday.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So I have to, like, really be careful with how I talk about it, because I want to make sure that she knows that she gets an equal amount or whatever she wants to do.
Or thoughts and prayers. I just ran all over you. Like, wow. Well, mm-hmm. My heart goes out to you guys. I think that is so noble. We all want to provide our kids hopes and dreams and goals and aspirations in whatever ways we can. And my God, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Stuff is expensive, and it is...
And it just keeps getting more and more expensive. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting a text here.
No, you're fine.
Check it.
When the kid texts, you gotta find out what it is.
Okay. Are you ready for our story?
I've never been more ready.
Ready to learn something?
Yes.
We are gonna go to 1855.
Okay.
To Devon, England.
Ooh.
Do you know it, the area? Because you were just in England.
I've heard of Devonshire.
It's probably related.
But also 1855. So is that, what is that, Victorian era? What is that?
I don't know. I forget.
Because 18...
I'm going to look.
What I'm thinking at my reference point right now in the top of my brain is I'm watching that show Ghosts. Have you ever seen? Oh, God, it's so good. I love it so much. I'm in season 3. It's so good. My husband's going to be really mad because, I'm sorry, hon, but I've gone past where we left off together. I had to, and we just don't have time to watch it together, but I'll rewatch it gladly if you really, really want to, but I don't think you have time either. Anyway, okay, caveat aside, one of the characters in that, Hetty, is a woman from, like, robber baron era U.S., 1845. I think that's the year she's wearing. She wears like the high neck,
okay,
dress.
Yeah,
because she was fancy pants
with the brooch right here.
Yes,
yeah.
And then like it was very risque to show a little ankle.
That sounds about right. It sounds about 1855.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
This area of England was largely rural and agricultural. The population was about 560,000. I'm setting the scene.
There's like more than a half a million people there?
Yeah, in the Devon area.
Mm-hmm. That's a big area.
And within the Devon area, there were little villages and towns and stuff. So I'm going to go over some of the towns in that Devon area. But just imagine like rolling hills.
Yes.
Patchwork farms. Most of the people lived in the villages working as farmers, tradespeople, and laborers. So this area hadn't been like swept up in all the industrialization like a lot of England had.
Beautiful.
Yeah, life was tied to the rhythms of the land. There were low wages, and the community life was around markets and churches.
Sounds glorious.
It sounds glorious, doesn't it? Like glorious.
Yeah. Yeah, take me now.
Okay, but February 9th. There was this heavy snowfall that blanketed the area. And just picture, like...
Oh, I know.
Do you know this story?
But I can't wait to hear this, this telling of it. I think so. Okay, keep going.
So the area, it's like snowing. It's snowing. It's beautiful snow, but big snowstorm. Everybody's in their house with their doors closed dealing with the snow that's pounding down. And in the morning, when the skies had cleared and it left behind, like, that amazing smooth...
The crust.
The sparkly crust of snow. You can picture how gorgeous that is.
Frosty the Snowman snow.
Exactly.
A Christmas snow.
And she's like untouched by anything except this one man named James Harvey. He was a local resident of Devon, and he's like the, I don't know if he's like the first guy to wake up in town or whatever, but he's the first person who has the reported.
Town crier.
He's the town crier. He's who reported that he noticed strange tracks in the snow when he woke up that morning.
Okay.
Like strange tracks. I'll describe them. They're like a straight line of tracks.
So like something is supermodel walking.
Yeah, one foot supermodel walking. One foot of the other.
Like that supermodel, horse supermodel. Sort of like swing around. A fancy horse walk, but with only two legs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So straight as an arrow and perfectly evenly spaced. You know the story.
Yes,
I do. Want to tell everybody what it is?
I think, and aren't they cloven hooved?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So I don't remember what this was called, what this thing was. I only remember bits and pieces, but I remember this mystery of the cloven hoofed prints in the snow in this England town.
Yeah.
So, but that's all I remember.
It is a mystery. So I'm going to share all the details for everybody. And okay. then we can, as a everybody listening, everybody, we can all go through like some of the hypotheses.
Okay.
And none of them will fit. And then you'll leave the podcast going, wow, what is this? Just like everybody else in the
okay.
world has.
Okay.
It's a mystery. Okay. So he notices these tracks and he's, and other neighbors are like waking up around this village of Devon. And they're also noticing that there's this straight line going through their town. And it wasn't just the town of Devon. In the nearby town of Topsham.
Okay.
An early rising baker also noticed strange...
Early rising baker. See what you did there.
He noticed the strange hoof-shaped tracks near his shop. And then he's, and then like, you know, you start talking to your neighbors and you start, and other neighbors are like, I had tracks outside my house. And they're realizing as they're like talking about it as a community that this trail stretched, like it stretched over impossible things. People saw it stretch over walls. Like
fences, walls and
rooftops.
What?
Even a river, like a 2 mile span of the X River. X, I don't know if I'm saying that right. EXE River.
Sure. XE.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
So whatever it is can take huge leaps in a single bound.
I don't know that it's leaping though. Like the prints continue.
Oh, like up and oh.
Yeah.
So as a hoax, that would be like impossible. Because not impossible maybe, but you have other prints. Like, I don't understand how you could hoax that.
Yeah, because you're right. Like, if you're using a stamp,
right.
Where's the person's footprints right. who are using the stamp?
Right. There's no drones at this time. There's mm-hmm. nothing you could do that would... Plus, it would have... If it's going up and over things, there'd be different variants in depth of the prints,
in depth
right?
and like in distance, I think.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you're going to, like, trip or something as you're...
Slip! It's freaking snowy! Like, there should be some slippage. Okay.
Or how do you walk up things and over things if you're model? Let's say you put on.
I don't know anything that can
shoes.
Do that. Anything with cloven hooves that can model walk on two legs.
Right.
For starters. Except like some animal in a. Okay, so time out. Mike and my husband, who we've talked about, and our daughter are watching the new Alien.
Uh-huh.
Show Alien something Earth.
Is it a TV show? Something.
Yeah, oh. It's. I think it's on Disney Plus, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but thank God I didn't watch the most recent episode because they described it to me, and in one. So now you're from. Are you familiar with the aliens like universe and like there's the big alien, the xenomorphs,
yeah.
and
yeah.
the facehuggers
rough.
And
I'm
the chestbuster and all.
Yeah.
That, okay. So that's about the extent of my knowledge too.
Mm-hmm.
But they and. They described to me that in the latest episodes, you're introduced to all these different aliens. Well, one of them gets inside the body of a sheep. And the sheep, they said the sheep at one point stands up like a human on two legs.
Oh, fun.
And it's like walking around. And I was like, nope, nope, nope. Don't tell me anymore. That is nightmare material. And Mike told me this morning, he brings it up again. It's just, oh, because he brings up that Far Side cartoon with the cow, where the cow
oh, yeah,
standing
yeah.
up and the farmer's milking it. And he's like, I hate it when they stand or something like that. And I go, like that sheep in the aliens. And he goes, no. Think of, I said, my imagination's making, he goes, you didn't see it. I said, my imagination's making it worse. He goes, no. Take your imagination and multiply it times 10. It was that creepy. So
I really want to see it now.
Oh, you'd probably
that
love it. Your
great.
Horror club should be watching this alien show, I think. But yeah, that's what, I'm picturing this sheep walking around.
Model walking.
Sashaying over frozen fields. How is it? Okay, that right there is enough to go, don't think so. Secondly, how's it walking up buildings?
Right.
Over down the other side and leaping giant expanses of river.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to anybody. That's why this is such a great
what in the
story.
Universe?
Okay. Everybody listening right now, you've all got to be racking your brain for like animals that this could be or a prank, how it could be pulled off. Because it definitely happened. Like, it definitely, this is one of those stories I love where there's a lot of witnesses.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of documentation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were drawing pictures of what they saw. We have, like, all record of all the things they sent. They all gathered their documentation together in their community, like, churches and centers, and were talking about it and sharing stories and things they saw. And it was all, like, lining up. It was all corroborating each other.
Hmm.
I like it.
And I can't imagine that there would be, besides just pure entertainment, like, the guy who faked the Loch Ness prints and stuff.
Mm.
And there's been Bigfoot hoaxes and stuff. That's purely for their own entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe something like that in a community, a quiet community, somebody gets bored and says, this would be fun. But still, how? It's the logistics
it's the
of
it's
it.
The how, right.
It wasn't like through one guy's farm. It wasn't, and it's in snow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you could feasibly hoax something like that.
I don't know.
Okay, keep going.
There's another town that was affected called Limpstone. And one of the villagers named George Marshall, he woke up and he found prints that were coming towards the door.
Nope.
And he,
that's a hard pass.
Yeah, and he's the one who, like, wrote in whatever he was writing down, like, good God, the devil has been here.
That's exactly what I would have been thinking at that time.
Really?
Absolutely. If that time, if it's agriculture and churches, what did you say, markets and churches,
markets,
the,
churches,
that's it,
yeah.
The whole world revolves around those two things. Yeah, it's either an upright walking animal, agriculture,
mm-hmm.
or it's the devil, churches.
Yeah,
and you can't, sheep and goats and cows don't walk like that, so I guess you're the next is, well, by default, it's the devil.
It has to be the devil when there's no other explanation for anything.
It's the devil
that's
or women,
like. Or women. You're so right. There's another town called Dawlish. In Dawlish, there was a group of trainsmen who followed the trail for miles. And some of them even tried pursuing the source with dogs, but reportedly the hounds got frightened and kind of refused to continue at some point.
Or the men didn't. They were like, the dogs are really scared. We must turn back for the dogs. The dogs were probably fine. My garage was left open the other night, and I'm convinced that the devil could have walked straight into my living room, and my dogs would have slept right through it. Not fazed one bit.
You have grit. She's got labs. They're so sweet.
Just lazy lumps.
So they estimate that these prints stretched for at least 40 miles. Some people say even more. Going across the towns, the fields, the rooftops, the walls. 40 miles of this line of prints.
Hmm. What, this is winter, or April? You said it was April?
It's February 8th.
So it's definitely midwinter. Or, yeah, wow. Let's say it was the devil. Just for funsies.
Okay.
Like, what's the mission? What are we doing? Like, you're not, nobody's dead. No cattle mutilations.
No.
No abducted children in the night.
I see what you're saying. It's pointless. It was a walkabout. Someone's just on a walkabout. Just
like
for
a spiritual quest.
They got to get their steps in. The devil's got to get his steps in.
Oh, it was the Fitbit requirement. Okay. Makes sense now. I just don't understand anybody's motivation for this one.
No, even
so
as a hoax.
Bizarre.
If it, like, a hoax for 40 miles...
That's a commit to the bit moment.
Yeah.
And you can't. You can't hoax this.
And if it was an
unless
animal.
Unless everybody's in on it together.
Right.
And they deny that there were tracks next to the tracks, that there was clear signs of it being a hoax, and they just really wanted to be a part of something exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no, I just don't know that many people are going to be able to corroborate their stories without. I mean,
right.
Again, why? Why would you?
Why?
You're not trying to bring fame.
No.
I don't imagine you'd want to be known for the town that the devil walks through periodically. Not at that time when everything's about church and markets.
Right.
Nobody's coming to that market if the devil's just cruising around.
But we've done podcasts before about people who had weird paranormal things, and it did bring in...
Oh, sure.
Like, tourists and...
But would it have an 1855 or whatever?
I think so. And isn't that around the time people started getting excited about seances?
Yeah, spiritualism.
And weird,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Hmm.
So maybe they were, maybe this was a big organized come visit Devon.
And that's a whole other layer of like, now we would have a hard time organizing people to do something like that. With all the social media in the world, it'd be hard. Back then?
Yeah.
And it's snowing? Who's running around in the snow, like Paul Revere, making sure everybody gets the memo about, don't forget, this is the day we're doing the devil hoax. Who's gonna... Then you have to have a sign-up genius for who's gonna... It's 40 miles. Who's gonna stamp the snow with witchcraft from here to the 5 miles away? Yeah. And then who's taking over from there to there? There's no way!
Here's in like a signing out. Like, here's your 500-yard part.
Yeah.
Here's your 500-yard part.
Don't you dare, like, get it mixed up. Because if somebody accidentally doubles it in one spot and there's nothing in another...
Right.
That's just... There's no way.
I agree with you. That's why I like it. I'm going to describe the tracks. So they were about 4 inches long, 2.75 inches wide, and they were evenly spaced about 8 to 16 inches apart. That's actually a big 8 to 16 inches. Doesn't sound evenly spaced to me.
Well, that sounds like the size of a goat hoof. Or sheep or goat. And then that's about the length of their stride. And some mountain goats will walk on a little, it's like they're walking on a tightrope because they're walking on the edge of mountainsides and little tiny. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen like a deer trail, it's just like a single line almost.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, rrr, 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 like walking like that. They don't take up a lot of room in their stride. Their feet do kind of overlap, but you can tell when something with four hooves has been walking. It looks different than something with two.
And
there's side-by-side hooves. Like,
yep.
They're close and a little overlapped, but there's still two.
Right. But this was, this everyone agrees this appeared to be like a two-legged creature, whatever it was. Two-legged with cloven hoof shape. I just texted you a picture, actually, of some of the drawings that the people around the area made because they compared a lot of their drawings together, and they were really all very similar.
Hmm.
So I'll put this on our socials so that people can see, like, but
oh yeah, they're all these like U shape. They look like sort of like squiggly bubble letter U shapes facing the closed end facing to the right, which that's also interesting that they all drew them like facing the same direction.
Yeah. And keep in mind that they are going over obstacles without breaking stride, without any evidence of like slipping or... It's very unusual, to say the least. The tracks looked cut or stamped into the snow and sometimes would go so deep as to reveal the ground underneath. But what was remarkable was just their precision and their uniformity. A lot of people thought they looked like a donkey's hoof or a split horseshoe. But that wouldn't account for their like how the way that they were walking and the distance of over 40 miles.
Okay. But like in these pictures, drawings, there's one that's very uniform. This one looks like a Lucky Charms horseshoe. All the rest are lacking uniformity.
That's all you could do back then, right? You wouldn't have a camera. So if you were really like a serious investigator, you'd go out and draw it. We have all these things. Mr. Musgrave's drawing from a letter.
Mm-hmm.
The illustrations in the London News. Mr. Urban's drawing.
That's what made it to the London News. That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Here are some animals that do leave tracks in a single line.
Oh, okay.
Ready? Weasels and ferrets.
Pretty sure they don't have cloven hooves.
No. Foxes.
Also no cloven hooves.
Cats.
Okay. We're still not in the right family of creatures.
Nope. Hares and rabbits, especially when they're hopping. When they're hopping, it can be a straight line.
But still side-by-side feet. They don't hop on half their body at a time.
We'd have to look.
Like, they don't go on the right side, hop, and then hop to the left side. They don't do, like, front right, back right, left front, left, back left.
I'm looking at rabbit snow prints. Yeah, they're in a straight line, but you're right. It's not a cloven shape at all.
No.
It's like their two big back feet.
Yeah.
And their little front feet just boop.
Yeah.
So hares and rabbits and otters.
None of which have nothing.
Cloven hoof. And you can look up in the snow. Look up snow prints of cloven hoofed animals, like goats. Yeah,
like mountain goats.
They're not like straight line. Like they kind of go a little bit side.
Yeah. I'm looking up mountain goat prints in snow.
It's straight-ish. It's more like this. Like, see how it's like a zigzag almost?
Yeah.
And I have to assume, you know, these people were way more in touch with
nature
and the land.
Than you and I, for sure.
So, we are looking at pictures, but I'm assuming if these prints looked odd to these people, they're going to see prints all the time in snow of the animals that are local to the area.
Yeah. And some of these animals, like I'm looking, like a bison is kind of similar. But a bison's not going up and over a roof.
No.
Or, I mean, that there's just at every turn where you think, oh, maybe it was that. Does it go up and over a roof? Sure doesn't.
All right. Do you want to get into some of the theories?
Yeah.
There's some really good theories.
Oh, God. Yes. The things that must have been talked about at the local tavern.
Yeah, I know. There's this. Okay, these are some of my favorite theories. So there was a reverend named Reverend G.M. Musgrave. And this sweet man was really just trying to, like, dispel hysteria. And, like,
Everybody calm down. Calm down. Just take a breather, everybody.
So you can picture this preacher that everybody kind of looks up to.
Oh, he's really sweet. Wiping his brow under his hat.
He lived in Devon, and he read aloud a church letter about the strange prince, which ended up, like, he read it aloud to his congregation, and it stirred people
up.
Of
course it did.
And he realized, like, oh, I shouldn't have...
I guess not everybody knew.
I shouldn't have done that. Like, so he's trying to calm everybody, and he goes...
It's like a staff email, where one person does something dumb, or inappropriate, or, you know, they maybe just don't know. Like, hey, guys, just go talk to that one person.
Right.
If you send out a full email blast of like, hey, everybody, just so you know, we don't make personal copies on the copy machine.
Right.
I know you're not talking to me. Yeah. And the person you're talking to is not going to register that you're talking to them.
That's so funny.
Because it's just not on their radar. So you have to go directly to the source. And then everybody's like, oh my God, who's making personal copies on the printer? Oh my God, oh my God. And yeah. We've all been there. Like, just go to the source or ignore it and it'll blow over.
Well, Reverend Musgrave wants to, like, calm everybody down. So he's like, listen, guys.
He must be new.
This is the most likely answer. It's probably a kangaroo.
Oh, God.
He says it's a kangaroo that probably escaped from a private menagerie belonging to a nearby nobleman.
Illegal zoo.
He's like, look, at the long leaps and the unusual shape of prints would be explained by the animal's hind legs.
He's like, he lay awake the night before going, what's an animal that nobody here would have ever seen before or ever again and can't compare it to anything scientific? These folks surely have never heard of a kangaroo. They've heard of them. No one. Have you seen, like, the people at the time where they would draw pictures of animals that they've never seen, but just based on
sounds
stories?
Amazing. No, oh, I want to see that.
I think, I could be wrong, but I think, like, in England, so the sign for the royal, like, English flag, their symbol is the lion. Like, that represents it. Which is hilarious, because there's no lions native to the UK, right? But they chose that. But the early versions of their drawings of what the lion looked like are hilarious. Very much.
I would love to see some.
Very much like the cats. Remember we talked a while back about cats that had like human faces.
I love it. The cats in the paintings
look
ridiculous.
Very much like that. But lions. So they had like a mane and like this big like human Cheshire cat smile and a flat face. Just so bizarre.
Well, now I'm picturing Mr. Musgrave drawing something.
Yeah, he's like, this is what a kangaroo looks like.
For those of you who don't know.
Yes, it's not the devil, it's just a kangaroo. Okay, and did everybody go, oh, okay, move on.
I mean, I think some people were like, that makes sense, but... But I think most people were like, no.
Yeah, nice
it doesn't
try,
really
Father.
Account for, like, no one, like, does that count for the distance? I'm sure people were like, could they really go 40 miles like that? Or, I don't know.
I don't know that people really had the time to, like, check their sources on that. Okay. Fact-checking the pastor probably didn't go over super well.
So interesting. Then Sir Richard Owen, there's another guy here. Sir Richard Owen, he was a well-known British biologist of the time and a paleontologist. He was coined the term dinosauria.
Okay.
He's very famous, and he was one of the biggest scientists in the Victorian era.
Good
for
him.
It was the Victorian era. And Sir Richard Owen suggested that these devil's footprints were likely made by badgers. And it could be weasels and ferrets. We had talked about that. But he's saying it's badgers.
Okay.
Because they're nocturnal.
Okay.
Because they do walk in a straight line. And he said it was multiple badgers.
A sudden, never before heard of influx of badgers.
He's explaining it's badgers that made overlapping trails. So they were really careful to, like, pick up where other badger left off.
I can't do that. I have tried to follow, like, behind my husband's prints in the snow or on a trail or whatever, just to, you know, like when we went to Giant's Causeway in Scotland.
Yeah.
He led the way back up, you know, the series of rocks because, you know, he knows my knees aren't great. And so he was trying to pick the most firm.
Nice. Like, yeah.
Place to place my foot, whatever. That wasn't the steepest push up. And I struggled. Teetered here and there. Like, badgers aren't, again, that's way too coordinated of an effort. And also, badgers' paw prints look like that.
Yeah, they're not cloven. Like, they're not cloven.
Cats.
A kitty cat with fingers.
Yeah.
And badgers aren't really known to scale walls and rooftops.
Or do things in teams.
But there weren't.
Travel in packs.
But a lot of people were like, well, if this scientist says it's true, then.
Right.
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 So. Some people are getting their answers. I don't have an answer yet.
No. Those people are dumb. Or ignorant.
I know. Okay. Other theories that have come since the 1854, like more theories have come out. It could have been, some naturalists think that it was some kind of hopping animal, like a bird or a rodent that hopped all that way.
For 40 miles. If I'm a bird, I'm not hopping 40 miles unless I'm a penguin. And there's no penguins in England.
Do penguins go 40 miles?
I'm sure they do. But they don't hop.
No.
They waddle and mostly glide on their bellies in the ice and snow.
They're so cute.
They are so cute.
There was an author named Jeffrey Household who suggested that it was a weather balloon that dragged shackles or ropes that touched down periodically. This actually isn't the worst theory, in my opinion, because it would account for how the tracks could have gone up and over.
Okay.
Like a lot, like walls and roofs and stuff like that.
They would not be uniform.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Not for 40 miles of uniformity.
Picturing a balloon like kind of bouncing.
Okay, let's say there's a balloon that hits the side of a house.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like maybe a little snaky looking like drag mark and then nothing. Or maybe just a couple, you know, because it's going to go up and then it's going to kind of float back down. If it's so truly that uniform, I just don't know. And we got to stop blaming paranormal stuff on weather balloons.
Weather balloons. I know it's always a weather
balloon.
Who's
buying that?
I don't hate it as a theory, though. I don't think that's what it is, but
it's fine. It's a fair theory.
Yeah.
But I do see some holes in that as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another, but people think that it was a hoax, like you had said, with people wearing snowshoes that looked like the cloven hooves, like custom-made snowshoes.
Sure.
No one ever confessed to it. And it didn't happen again, as far as I could find. Like, this was a one-time.
And
one
I feel
and
like
done.
If they got away with it one time, they're definitely doing it again.
You think so?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know. That's a big effort prank. They might have done it and been like, oh, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, 40 miles is a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were they... Yeah. Hmm. I mean, there was a guy who kept it going for a really long time with the... And I think he may have gone to the grave with the secret or something. Or maybe not, but close to. There were these two men in England, actually, that did it together. This whole Loch Ness thing.
Are you talking about crop circles? Or
no, Loch Ness prints. And they, like, would wear them and... they made them, they cast them and made them, and then would wear them around and like go down to the water's edge and then come back just to try to get people to think that there was a Nessie.
If you were going to start a prank with me like that, a paranormal prank here in
Puyallup. In all our spare time.
But we like committed to it and we did it for the rest of our lives. What could we do? What
would it be?
I'm thinking like weird rock painting. Like we could paint rocks to look like fingers or toes or something and like spread them everywhere and everyone would be like, there's all these like fingers and toes.
We're surrounded by so many trees, big tall evergreen trees. It might be interesting to do something. I'm not suggesting we're going to do this, but because A, who has the time for that mass hoax? But also, I don't want to send people into a tizzy for no reason. But like something, some sort of mark on the tree. Or like those things in Blair Witch, the like things made out, the figures made out of branches.
We could totally do that here in the Northwest.
That just start, all of a sudden they just start hanging from trees every once in a while. Just see this thing.
Yeah. And then we start a mass hysteria. And we take it to the grave.
Well, and to all the people listening to the podcast.
Forget what you just heard.
Yeah. We're going to Men in Black you right now.
Send us your ideas, though.
Yes. Maybe someday when we retire, we'll have time and energy to devote to a mass hoax.
I got two more theories for you.
Wow, okay.
Two more. This one is my least favorite. The mass hysteria waking dream. I do not buy it.
Oh my gosh.
I do not like it when people claim, like, hysteria. Well, they're hysterical.
I mean, again, I do know that people like to, I wouldn't call it hysteria, but the, like, just wanting to be a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, I saw it too. Oh yeah, 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 I saw it too. That does happen, especially if you're under the age of 9, but yeah, again, I don't think that doesn't add up.
It's just an excuse when something weird happens and you can't explain it to just be like, oh, it was just hysteria.
Yeah, hysteria, like, has been a tried and true throughout history way of dismissing people.
It's dismissive.
Very dismissive. I mean, women were involuntarily institutionalized.
Yes.
Because of hysteria.
Yeah.
When really they just disagreed with their husbands about how money should be spent or whatever.
Or they had an emotion, any emotion
other than compliance.
Compliance. There's a lot of triggers. So I get really triggered around hysteria stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But here's my favorite. Here's my favorite one.
Oh, you saved your favorite for last?
I saved my favorite for last. And I'm going to send you a picture of it, too. And then we'll be done. And you can get back to your yard work. Are you ready to see this?
Yes.
Okay. So someone came up with the genius idea that going with the demon thing, that it was a demon, but it was a demon shaped like a wagon wheel.
What?
Oh, you gotta see it. So, like, imagine a wagon wheel with the spokes being the feet so that you could evenly, like, you know, run. Like, imagine a unicycle. A unicycle's going with all these little cloven feet on the ends of it, and the unicycle's going, and it's leaving these, like, perfectly
the
even
tracks.
The unicycle
demon.
But in the middle of it is a demon head. You gotta see the picture. It's
Please
my
send
favorite
it to
one.
Me. Did you send it to
I
me?
I did.
I don't have it yet.
I did.
Might need to send it again.
So here it is.
What? I'm online. I'm looking at it. No. Okay. I'm going to describe it for you. Do you remember in The Labyrinth? You know The Labyrinth very well. Those orange guys that I hate so much. I hate that whole scene with the orange guys.
Chili
it's
girl.
Like the... Yes, please definitely remind us. They're the furry, fuzzy Muppet puppet guys. Imagine that. Like the head in the middle, but creep, like more sinister looking. But then instead of just a... Four, like two arms and two legs. It's like a cycle of the back hind leg around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those in a cycle formation around a center head. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And also terrifying.
But you can see why this is my favorite.
Absolutely.
This is
I'm surprised you don't
best.
Have a picture of that framed in your bathroom.
Me too. Now I'm going to. This is my new favorite cryptid of all time. It is so whimsically weird, and...
They're like, I know what it was.
It explains everything, though. This is the perfect answer.
Right. Absolutely. I can't imagine it would have a very easy... So, with the head on the side like that, it'd have a hard time looking forward. So, walk in a straight line. Now, I'm really rationalizing this. If this thing were real, it would have a hard time doing a straight line.
Right. Well...
Unless you just wind it up and let it go. And it doesn't have to think about it.
I want to make this so bad out of crochet. I want to make, like, a crochet wheel demon.
It's the weirdest looking thing. Wow, I've never seen that before.
No.
That's a new one for me. You got to put that on our socials. That's hilarious.
That's all, folks. We solved it. That's the answer.
Okay. Bada boom, bada bing. We got it. I thought kangaroo was pretty weird. But that just got way weirder. You know what it is, folks? It's a demon. Imagine a wagon wheel, folks. Go with me. Stay with me here. But instead of the hub of a wheel, it's a head of a demon. And then where the spokes would be are cloven hooves, 5 of them, in a wheel formation. And it just rolls around, leaving these prints. So strange, but very creative.
It's the simplest. The simplest answer is usually the right answer.
No, it's not the simplest answer. The simplest answer is mass hysteria.
No.
Waking hysteria.
No, I don't like hysteria.
Well, neither do I. But I mean, that is like the, you know, nothing happened. It was all just hallucination. And then I think closely followed by the kangaroo theory.
You like the kangaroo
I mean,
theory.
I don't like it, but if we're talking about most reasonable.
I did not think that would be your top. Your top
I'm
two.
Not saying I like it. I'm just saying if we're going with most reasonable, wheel demon is not even on my radar. And it's, I've seen it and it's still not on my radar as a possibility.
Oh, man.
Huh. But you need to make one for sure.
I do.
You need to call it the Devon Demon. The Devon Wheel Demon.
Devon Wheel Demon.
Wow.
So we'd love to know your theories as homework. Your homework is, you know, what do you think happened? Tell us your theories.
Yes. Or which one you like the best.
Tell us a prank that we can play on Puyallup.
Which is a great look for me running a campaign. Vote for the woman who's... causing mass hysteria.
If you haven't been following, Lindsay's running for city council.
Sure am.
She gonna get it.
We'll see. Gotta go knock on some doors and put some signs up. And knocking on doors is my worst fear. I hate it. So send me all your positive vibes and witchy spells for bravery and safety as I go tackle that.
Yeah.
All right, well. That was a good one.
Good. I'm glad you liked it. Good.
That was funny. And I always needed a laugh. A weekly laugh.
Okay, scholars. Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.